Hare Krishna, so welcome to everyone this evening. Thank you to Dharmatma Prabhu for giving me the opportunity to try to share something with you. I pray for your blessings and permission to speak. Today we're reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 6, entitled Dhyana Yoga. And today we're reading from text number 35, so if you can repeat after me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Lord Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Purport. The difficulty of controlling the obstinate mind, as expressed by Arjuna, is accepted by the personality of Godhead. But at the same time, he suggests that by practice and detachment, it is possible. What is that practice? In the present age, no one can observe the strict rules and regulations of placing oneself in a sacred place, focusing the mind on the super soul, restraining the senses and mind, observing celibacy, remaining alone, etc. By the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in 9 types of devotional service to the Lord. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn vairagya. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. Impersonal spiritual detachment is more difficult than attaching the mind to activities of Krishna. This is practical because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. This attachment is called pareshanubhava, spiritual satisfaction. It is just like the feeling of satisfaction a hungry man has for every morsel of food he eats. The more one eats while hungry, the more one feels satisfaction and strength. Similarly, by discharge of devotional service, one feels transcendental satisfaction as the mind becomes detached from material objectives. It is something like curing a disease by expert treatment and appropriate diet. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind, and eating the foodstuff offered to Krishna is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. This treatment is the process of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Krishna has a difficult task. He is trying to teach Arjuna something very high, something very, very important, something very, very critical, and Krishna has a short amount of time. In this day and age, teaching anyone anything is difficult. How many times have you just wanted to teach someone something, you say it once and they just accept it, understand it and follow it? Very rare. Very rare that a teacher can just get through by saying one thing. Therefore, if we look at our Shastra, there are different ways and different means by which a teacher will teach their students. Telling them what to do is just one way of teaching. But there are many, many different ways, if you think about the pastimes of the Shastra, that we can teach others. For example, teach by experience. When Krishna wants to teach Uddhav that his spirituality is of a lower class to the spirituality of the residents of Vrindavan, then what does Krishna do? Does Krishna tell him that? No. Krishna tells him, Uddhav, I've got a task for you. Can you go and send a message to Vrindavan, send a message to the gopis? And then when he reached, he experienced the love of the gopis. He experienced the bhav of Vraja. And then what did he say? Vrindavane kimapi gulmalato sadhinam. I understood Krishna was teaching me by giving me an experience. So one way to teach is teach by experience. Another way you can teach someone is by engagement in devotional service. One time someone, he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he said, Swamiji, Swamiji, I have many questions. Bhaktisiddhanta said, you just wait. First, there are some brahmacharis there. They are washing the pots, cleaning. You just go and help them first. And then we'll talk. So he went. And then he came back. Looked at Bhaktisiddhanta. So what are your questions? No more questions. No more questions. Bhaktisiddhanta said, yes. Sevan mukhe hi jivado svayam eva spuratyada. If you do service, your senses become spiritualized. You can begin to perceive things. So another way to teach is teach by engagement. Another way you can teach others is just by your own being. In English they say your aura. In Sanskrit or in our tradition we say just by your purity, your effulgence, your duty. Isn't it? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to meet the Mayavadi sannyasis, then he comes and sits down in that very dirty place. And what do they? They are Mayavadis. They are impressed by the impersonal Brahman. But when they see Mahaprabhu's effulgence, that surpasses any brightness of the impersonal Brahman. When they perceive Mahaprabhu's humility, then immediately their heart is changing. Sometimes we can teach others not by what we say, but just by our own character. And if you don't have good character, no matter what you say, it will not reach someone's heart, isn't it? One person, he said to another person, I cannot hear what you're saying because your character is speaking too loud. Sometimes actions speak louder than words. What are you? What is your character? So that's another way to teach. You can teach by your own character. Another way you can teach is not by directly telling someone, but sending them to someone who can tell them. Can you think of an example? Who came? Vidura came to Uddhav, isn't it? Vidura was going on his pilgrimage and he came to Uddhav. And he had so many nice talks from Uddhav and he said, keep speaking. And Uddhav said, no, if you want to learn more, go to Maitreya. You can also send them to someone else to learn. So can you see, when you study the Bhagavatam, when you study the Bhagavad Gita, you're not just studying philosophy, you can learn so many things about life. And one of the things you can learn about life is how to teach others. And here, Krishna is teaching by another method. He's teaching by impossibility. He's teaching Arjun by impossibility. What do I mean by that? For four chapters of the Gita, Krishna has told Arjun what he should do. Krishna says, you have to stay in the world. You can't go and leave the world. You can't go to the forest. You can't renounce. You can't take vanavas. It's not the right time. You have to engage in your duty. Karmanyeva dikaraste mafale shukadachana. Work, but in the spirit of detachment. But Krishna can see that the message is not penetrating still, fully. So what does Krishna do in the sixth chapter? Krishna teaches by impossibility. What does he do? He says, look, I told you what you should do. But now the way I'm going to convince you that this is what you should do is I'm going to teach you that the alternative is impossible. So this is another trick. Sometimes if you want to teach someone something, then sometimes you think, when is this person going to get it through their head what I'm telling them? Sometimes you can teach by impossibility. You can say, look, you don't want to do that? Then this is your alternative. And look what will happen if you do this. No, okay, I'll do that one then. Isn't it? So Krishna is so smart. Krishna is so ingenious. Krishna is... Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishyani cha bhutani mamtu vedana kashchana. Krishna knows all living entities. And he knows what way and in which way to penetrate their heart. So he prescribes this whole system to Arjun. Go to the forest, sit on the kusa grass, and then dressed in deer skin with your back erect, your eyes situated on your nose, on the tip of your nose, then engage in Ashtanga Yoga. And what does Arjun say? Chanchalam himana Krishna pramathi balavadridam. Not possible, Krishna. Not possible, because my mind is going everywhere. Once one devotee said to me, my mind during the japa time is like a horror movie. Mind is everywhere. Vayur eva sudushkaram. To control the mind, Krishna, is more difficult than to control the wind. So Arjun says, it's impossible. It's impossible. Is there another way? Then Krishna again brings him back in this verse. Now I again tell you what to do. So the first thing I want to share with you in today's class is, when we're reading the Gita, we of course reading the philosophy, but try to also understand the psychology of the Gita, the psychology of Arjun, because you can learn so many things about life. You want to learn about relationships, you want to learn about lifestyle, you want to learn about how to make decisions, you want to learn about how to teach others. You can learn all of that from the Gita, along with the absolute truth of who you are. So now on to today's topic. Arjun says, I don't think it's possible. Krishna says, Asam Sayam, you have to do it. Undoubtedly, it's difficult, but it's possible. Arjun is asking a question about the mind that's so pertinent in the world we're living in today. The biggest talking point in modern health is the mind. 20% of... I'm not going to give you a whole list of statistics about the mind. You can check up on the internet if you like. But just to give you a glimpse of the problems people have with the mind, 20% of individuals between the age of 15 and 30 in this world have a problem with the mind. 15 to 30 year olds in this world, you know what the second biggest cause of their deaths are? Suicide. Anxiety and depression. Do you know those two problems, how much they promote or how much they contribute to the economy of the world? $1 trillion every single month. Every single year. This is the mind. Just see how relevant the Gita is. Krishna is addressing a point which now has become the biggest talking point in the world. This is why we have to share the knowledge of the Gita with the world. Ultimately, it is our own mind. The mind is the cause of all problems. Therefore, there was the Avanti Brahmana, and he took up a life of renunciation. And then he began to look back on his life and he thought, why did I suffer so much in my life? Isn't it? Sometimes we feel, why did I suffer so much in my life? And what was his conclusion? Nayam janome sukadu kahetur. na devatatma griha karma kalaha mana param kare mama mananti samsara chakram parivartayadyat. He said, I'm looking back on my life and I'm thinking, why did I suffer? Nayam jano, I used to think people were the cause of my suffering. I was wrong. Na devatatma, later on I thought maybe the gods are the cause of my suffering. I was wrong. Graha, later on I thought it was my astrology. Prabhuji, very bad astrology. Moon is in the wrong place. Mars, Saturn. I was wrong, not the graha. Later on, karma. I thought maybe karma was the cause of my suffering. I was wrong. Kalaha. Then later on I thought maybe time is the cause of suffering, because in time everyone suffers. I was wrong. None of this. Not other people, not the gods, not my planetary systems, not the karma that I have, not even time. None of this was the cause of my suffering. What was the cause of my suffering? Mana param karanam amananti samsara chakram parivartayadyat. There is one thing that is perpetuating the samsara chakra, the repeated misery of this world. There's one thing that is perpetuating it. Mana param karanam amananti. The ultimate cause, the ultimate root problem. Mana is my own mind. And how many people in this world have learned to control their own mind? So, here, Arjuna is faced with the same problem. He's saying, I can't control my mind. I can't do it. Krishna, I don't think so. It's possible. And Krishna is telling him, yes, it is possible. Abhyasena dukonteya vairagyena chagriyate. The first thing is you have to engage positively. And along with that, you have to restrict the activities of the mind or the agitation of the mind by vairagya. You have to do both of these things. You can't just do one of them. By vairagya, what happens is the mind becomes quietened. The mind becomes subdued. And by abhyas or practice, what happens? The mind becomes transformed. But if you try to transform the mind without subduing the mind, it will be very difficult. And if you simply subdue the mind, but you don't remold the mind, still, you may be a little bit more peaceful, but you're in the same situation. So some people, they do vairagya, but not abhyas. Some people do abhyas, but they don't do vairagya. And 99.9% of people in this world don't do either. And therefore you got all these problems in the world. See? If you do abhyas but not vairagya, if you don't create the proper situation for the abhyas to have its effect, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bahu janma kari jadi shravana kirtan tabutana paye Krishna pade prema dhan. You can do it for many lifetimes, abhyas. Bahu janma kare jadi shravana kirtan. You can do it for many, many lifetimes, but you may not reach your goal. And simply doing vairagya, this will also, Krishna says, nasadhayati mam yogo nasankhya dharma uddhava nasvadhyaya tapas tyago. All these things, tapasya, tyaga, svadhyay, following dharma, all these aspects, any kind of vairagya, this in and of itself He won't also help you to reach your goal. But when you bring these two things together, then it becomes extremely powerful. Therefore, if you look at Chatushloki Bhagavatam, in second canto, Krishna is speaking Chatushloki Bhagavatam to Brahma. And in the final verse, Krishna says something amazing. Maybe let me find that verse. It's nice to quote it. Very important verse. So this is 2:9:36, I believe. Etavadeva jigyasam tatva jigyasunatmanaha anvaya vyatirekabhyam yachyat sarvatra sarvada. Krishna says to Brahma, this is the final verse of the Chatushloki, which is the essence of the whole Bhagavatam. What does Krishna say? A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So this last bit is very, very important. Anvaya vatirekyabhyam. Krishna says to Brahma, if you want to find perfection, then you have to search for me in all times and places, in all situations, in all ways, but you have to search for me directly and indirectly. So when I read this, I thought, what does this mean? Directly you search for Krishna, you look for Krishna. What does it mean to search for Krishna indirectly? But then in the commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains very nicely that to search for Krishna directly means that we should engage in the practices that are going to help us awaken pure devotion. Navavida Bhakti, Pancha Anga Bhakti. But the Acharyas, what they say is that to search for Krishna indirectly means to approach Krishna by cutting out things and removing things from your life which take you away from Krishna. In other words, vairagya. So vairagya means detachment. But the ultimate point of detachment is attachment to Krishna. Vairagya means detachment, but vairagya also means vishesha raga. See? The Sanskrit word for detachment also means vishesha raga, which means a special type of attachment. Therefore, one who has true vairagya, they don't just have detachment from the world, but their detachment from the world is based on attachment to Krishna. So here in this verse, Krishna is saying these two things must come together. Vairagya and abhyas. This is the power of a devotee. It's said that a mystic keeps their power in their hair. You can see I'm not a mystic. But then your hair falls out. So you can't maintain that power, you cannot maintain it. They say a jnani holds their power in their intellect. But do you notice with time your intellect even is lost? A yogi is holding their mind based on control of the mind and senses. But have you noticed how even the mind and senses can sometimes overcome? Because very powerful. It's not stable. Vidvamsam apikarshati. Even a learned person can be overcome. So if you try to draw your power from your hair, from your intellect, from your control of your mind and senses, Different people draw their power from different things. A devotee draws their power from their bead bag. Therefore, when Prabhupada came, I thought about this a lot. Prabhupada came to America, and then Prabhupada, in the final line of his poem, when he arrived in America, what did he say? Bhakti nahi bedi nahi khub naam daro, bhakti vedanta naam ebe sarthak karo. Prabhupada, in the final line of his poem, he says, bhakti nahi, I don't have any devotion. Bedi nahi, I don't have any knowledge. Khub naam daro, but the one thing I do have is strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. So I thought about this. Of course, Prabhupada is Bhaktivedanta. How can he not have knowledge and devotion? But I thought about this, and what I concluded was Prabhupada was giving us great hope. Because in the morning, if we wake up and we look in the mirror and we say, Bhakti nahi, we look at ourselves and we say, I have no devotion. I'm waving a lamp in front of Krishna, I have no devotion. I'm taking darshan, I have no devotion. If we're sitting in a class or we're reading shastra, and then we come to the point where we realize, Bedi nahi, I have no knowledge. I passed all the exams, bhakti shastri, bhakti vaibhav, bhakti. I don't have that knowledge, it hasn't penetrated my heart. Don't worry. Because Prabhupada said, bhakti nahi, bedi nahi, khub naam daro. But if you take shelter of the holy name, then the holy name can make everything up. And therefore, nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyatha. Once we had this verse, in Manor in London, we have our altar, and then above the altar, it was this wide, we had this whole verse, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. And this one English person came in, new person. I looked around and answered all his questions. There is one thing I don't understand. Who is Ava and why is she so nasty? You can imagine, for a new person. Nasty Ava. This is above your shrine. Nasty Ava. Nasty. Who's that? But no other way. No other way. No other way. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, and Prabhupada writes in the purport, it all begins with hearing. Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. We must learn to hear nicely. Yashyam Vai Shruyamanayam. If you learn this art, Shoka, Moha, Bhaya, Paha, all lamentation, all fear, everything disappears. Somehow the vibration of the holy name has to land in the heart. Once there was one army general and he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was thinking, how I will impress upon him Bhagavat Tattva, the Naam Tattva. So he looked at this army general and he said, just like there is a helicopter, and a helicopter comes into a land, and then when the helicopter comes to the land, then slowly the helicopter comes down, and then it hits the ground. And when that helicopter hits the ground, then all the doors open, and all the army soldiers come out, and they run in all directions with their guns, and they take over the whole land. He said, just like that, you have to sit down and you have to hear the holy name, or you have to hear the Shabda Brahman from a Sadhu Vaishnav. And when they launch that sound vibration has to enter your heart. It has to hover. Then it has to land in your heart. And as that vibration lands in your heart, then every syllable of the holy name will go to every part of your being and it will conquer your consciousness. Rupa Goswami says, no? Tunde tan divini ratim vitanute tundavali labdhaye karna krodha kadambini ghatayate karna budhe vyaspriham chaita sangini prangini vichayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyad biramrite krishneti varnadei. Rupa says, I don't know how much nectar there is in the two syllables Krishna. When those syllables enter my ears, I desire millions of ears. When those two syllables are on my tongue, I desire thousands of tongues. And when those two syllables enter the courtyard of my heart, it conquers my mind and renders all my senses inert. So that is what we're praying for. That the abhyas, the practice of hearing and chanting, will somehow begin to have that effect on us. And then when that effect comes, then the mind will be conquered. Then no more struggling with the mind. Mamevyam cho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Mana shastendriyani. Constant struggle with the mind. Because this abhyas and vairagya, somehow we have to grasp that process in a more powerful way. So Krishna is reminding us here that all the troubles of the mind can be solved by this process. And that is the wonderful opportunity that we all have by the grace of Srila Prabhupada to really engage in that process with determination, with faith, with great seriousness and great intensity. That is our meditation because we're here in Vrindavan. According to the tradition of Vraj, when many people start their parikrama, then the first place that they go to is Madan Mohan Temple, because Madan Mohan Temple is situated on top of Dvadas Aditya Til. And why is Dvadas Aditya Til named in that way, the son of 12, the hill of 12 sons? Because we know Krishna was shivering and he was on that hill, and then the one son expanded into 12 in order to heat his body. So he said many times that the pilgrims, they come to Vrindavan and they go there first and they make a prayer to Krishna that just as the one son expanded into 12 to give incredible intensity, while I'm here in Vrindavan, while I have this great opportunity to be in the Dham, let my devotion, let my practice, let my sadhana bhakti be 12 times more intense. Because it is that intensity, divrena bhakti yogena, it is only that intensity which will ultimately awaken our innate consciousness and then conquer the mind. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maybe I'll stop there and take some questions. If anyone has a question or a comment or a reflection, is there a mic or...
Is abhyas the cause of vairagya? If it is so, then do we need to practice vairagya in isolation, or will abhyas automatically work?
Okay, very good question. So, how does vairagya and bhakti, how do they fit together? Do you need vairagya before you can get bhakti? Is bhakti causing vairagya to come about? Both. In Shastra, you'll find three statements about Vairagya. One statement will stress that you need Vairagya while you're practicing, before you attain Shuddha Bhakti. Other statements in Shastra will tell you that you attain Vairagya automatically by Bhakti. And other statements in Shastra will tell you that Vairagya is dangerous to Bhakti. Welcome to the world of Shastra. This is why you have to be able to understand everything in context. So sometimes Krishna will say, for example here, Vairagyena abhyasena tukonteya vairagyena chagriyate. You need Vairagya in the beginning. And we are all doing that, isn't it? There's some Vairagya. You have to abstain from many things. You have to control many things. Even now we're in Kartik, people have so many niyams. We know that a certain amount of Vairagya will support the development of bhakti. So that's true. But then Shastra will say, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayateshu Vairagyam Jnanam Chaya Dahaitukam. By Vasudev Bhakti, you'll get Vairagya. Because the real Vairagya comes when you have attachment to Krishna. Therefore, Vishesha Raga brings Vairagya. So that's also true. So that type of Vairagya is a very natural Vairagya. That type of Vairagya is known as Virakti. You see, there are different words for renunciation. So when Rupa Goswami is talking about the symptoms of Bhav, then what does he say? Shantir avyartha kalatvam viraktir mana shunyata. Rupa Goswami is saying, if you will know you have Bhav if you have these things. Kshantir, very forgiving. Avyartha kalatvam, you don't want to waste any time. Virakti, a natural detachment. So one type of Vairagya is a Vairagya which is cultivated. Another type of Vairagya is a Vairagya which comes by perfection. And there's another type of Vairagya which is discouraged. Because this type of Vairagya creates a hard heart. This type of Vairagya creates a pride. This type of Vairagya will not make your heart soft enough for bhakti to come about. And therefore you'll find in the 10th canto, there's a verse which says, I can find it for you later, that one who is not too much attached or too much detached in this world is a good candidate for bhakti. So what's the dynamic of Vairagya and bhakti? You need Vairagya before you can get bhakti, number one. You get Vairagya after bhakti, number two. And Vairagya can also be a disturbance to bhakti, number three. All are true. It's okay?
Hi, Vishnu. I was asked, what does it mean to practically place one's faith in the holy name? Is it simply that you just, you think that we're chanting our lines, that when we use this, faith in the holy name to help them control our mind and senses? What does it mean to be more?
What does it practically mean to put faith in the holy name? Give priority to the holy name? Give the best time of your day to the holy name. Give the best part of your attention to the holy name. Make the holy name the basis of your aspirations in life. Meditate on how to increase your attachment to the holy name. Think about how everything you're going to do in life is going to contribute back to chanting the name with great absorption. I remember once Indradyumna Maharaj, he was giving a lecture and he said, all the tapasya, all the study, all the devotional service, all the vows that we take in devotional life are just so that one day you can sit in one corner of the room, chant one holy name of Krishna, and experience one genuine teardrop fall from your eye. If it comes to that point, you made it. So we should think, how are all of my activities investing back into the holy name? So it must come to that. That's what it means to put your faith in the holy name. But you see, we prioritize other things. We make goals for other things. We see success based on other things in our life. But all of those things are only a success if later on they come back to the holy name and help you to chant with more absorption for Krishna. Because nasteva nasteva, there's no other way. You have to go through the holy name. Is that okay?
But why was he not teaching directly the glories of the Holy Name for Chalupa Mahana Arjuna in this time, since the Holy Name was announced so much before?
Yeah, so Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita explains that we should engage his mind on him. Why is he not teaching the glories of the holy name directly? Of course, Krishna does say in the Bhagavad Gita, Yajnanam Japa Yajnosmi. He says, of all yajnas, I am the Japa Yajna. But still, you're correct. Of course, Krishna does say, Satatam Girtayanto Mam. They're always chanting about it. So Krishna gives the hints, you see. But you're right, he doesn't overtly say it. Why doesn't Krishna overtly say it? Because Krishna has a plan of how he's going to do everything. And therefore Krishna knows there's a time and place at which I will come down and teach this. And you see, Krishna wants to do many, many things in one go. So Krishna waits for the right time. And then Krishna comes to this world, and not only does he spread the holy name, but he fulfills his other deeper internal purpose, which is to relish the mood of Radharani, and he does it in a very special way which will be relevant to the people of Kali Yuga. So this is another aspect of teaching, that in teaching sometimes you don't tell everyone everything immediately in one sitting, isn't it? If you're a book distributor on the street, you can't just give a 1 hour Bhagavatam class right there. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Boom. No, you may just say, you take this up, you'll be free from stress. You're just scratching. Then you know, we'll build it up. There's a time and place. This is a method of teaching. So Krishna came in Kali Yuga. We know Lochandas Thakur tells the story of how Krishna decided to come in Kali Yuga, that one day he was in Dwaraka, and Krishna, he came to the palace of Rukmini. He was in the palace of Satyabham, and he came to the palace of Rukmini. She welcomed him, and they sat down, and they were having a loving interaction, and then all of a sudden Rukmini began crying. Krishna said, everything was going nice. Now you all of a sudden you're crying. Why are you crying? She said, you will not understand. Krishna said, no, Vedaham Samatittani. I know everything. She said, no, you will not understand. Only Radharani knows. Rukmini looked at Krishna and said, you're here today, but at one point you will leave. And when you leave, do you know what it feels like for us? You don't know what it feels like. Only Radharani knows. So Krishna, one doubt went in his mind. Oh my God, only Radharani knows. Just at that moment, Narad Muni was coming. So Narad Muni, Krishna invited him, oh great sage. They were having loving interaction. Narad Muni was there. Then Narad Muni began crying out of the blue. Krishna said, my God, one of those days. Everyone's crying. What's the problem? Narada said, I'm going around the universe and I'm seeing that the darkness of Kali Yuga is coming. How will the living entities be benefited? Krishna, you have to do something. So second doubt went in Krishna's mind. Kali Yuga is coming, I have to do something. So Krishna walked out of the palace and he knew what he had to do. I have an internal purpose. I have to find out what Radharani is feeling. And I have an external purpose. I have to give them a clear way because I haven't outlined it specifically in the Gita. So when the time is right, I will come in Kali Yuga. In the mood of a devotee, Emata Bhakta Bhav Kori Angikar Apani Achari Bhakti Korila Prachar. I will take the Bhakta Bhav and I'll come and I'll fulfill everything. Liberate two birds with one samosa instead of killing two birds with one stone. So that's Krishna. Krishna knows the right time for everything. The teacher knows the time. You see? You know, when I was a kid, the nurse used to give injections. And later on, when I was older, I figured out her technique. Because when you sit down and you have to get an injection as a child, you're very fearful. So she would just talk to me nice, and crack a joke, and then boom, straight in. Because there's a time, timing is everything. If you do it at the right time, then it will really penetrate. So Krishna knows the right time. And Krishna therefore came in Kali Yuga at the perfect time, to give the perfect process to attain perfection. So this is another aspect of Krishna's ingenious teaching. I hope that helps. It's 6:30, I don't know, should we stop? So it's 6:30, thank you so much for your kind attention and patience. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, Maharaj Bhagavad Gita ki, Jainitai Gaur Premanande.